We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Happy Thursday.
It is Thursday.
The sun is out. It's 23 degrees.
The sun is not out.
It's out.
No.
Look,
no.
We're in a canyon. We're surrounded by high-rise buildings. But look, I can see the sun is out. Look. I am capable of staring out the Amish Doppler and getting a snapshot of the sky.
It's no, that's a pretty weak effort for people
nice,
that are visiting.
It's a nice day. Hey, it could be 20 below.
It could be. So much happening today, and we have a giant show we're very excited about today. We want to talk about Sears. Sears was going to go the way of the dinosaur, and it got a stay of execution. The last-ditch effort, its hedge fund former CEO is keeping it alive. What are they going to do with it? We will speculate on that. We'll also talk about, we'll talk to Gretchen Carlson.
Gretchen Carlson at 5'10", who we should point out got her start in the Carol Evan backyard with me.
Yeah.
Back in the late 80s. She gives me all the credit for her amazing career. But wow, what a ride Gretchen has had.
Yes.
The pride of Anoka, and she's on the air right here on CCO at 5'10". You do not want to miss that.
Right. We're going to and we'll ask her everything. You know, we'll talk to her about Roger Ailes. We'll talk to her about Miss America. We'll talk to her about her new documentary.
She's got a new documentary on Lifetime. She's got an amazing book out, a new book. So, yeah, she's got a lot of stuff going on.
And in the hopes of taking a little break from shutdown, wall. You should see Dan Cook. He goes, all right, I know you guys are tired of talking about the shutdown on the wall. And then I pitch a story about the wall. And he's like, you're killing me.
I can't win.
You're killing me. Sorry, Dan. Yeah. So the president is in McAllen, Texas today. And we'll talk. He's touring. We can get into that a little bit later. But often when we discuss the wall, a border wall on our southern border, 2,000 miles of wall, people often call into the show or text into the show and they say, Jordana, Israel has a wall and that's working great. And you know what? They do have a wall. And no, I'm not talking about the Wailing Wall that is surrounding the temple. This is a different wall. Yes, it is a border wall that was built to protect Israel from terrorism.
The suicide bombings. I remember these terrorists on the buses blowing themselves up in Tel Aviv.
Exactly.
And so the wall went up thinking that that would help to cut down on the number of terrorists that could easily come into Israel.
So did it? And is it working? I'm so grateful to have a friend and colleague, Ronnie Levy, in studio. Ronnie is a former advisor to Prime Minister Ariel Sharon on world Jewish and world Christian affairs. Ronnie served in the IDF and the Israeli Defense Force as an infantry commander. He resides in Israel with his wife and four kids, and he's a frequent speaker in America. He's also the author of the book Land for Peace, A Century of Failure. And Ronnie is also the owner of Covenant Tours, so he helps people get around Israel and shows them all things Israel. Ronnie, so happy to have you in the studio.
It's great to be here. Thank you very much.
Is it sunny outside for you? Because this is not sunny for me.
Not so much.
Yeah.
Really? We have to talk about the weather. Well, come on, can we talk about
you
something?
You say it's sunny. He's coming from Israel. He's going to agree that this is not sunny out here.
It's a step in the right direction. So has the wall worked as intended? Because people do bring up the wall as a precedent in discussions about putting a border wall with Mexico. Has it turned out the way it was supposed to turn out in terms of curtailing terrorism, suicide bombings, et cetera, in Israel?
Well, first of all, we need to remember that the Mexican situation and the border in Texas and Mexico is not the same context as you mentioned. It's we had to defend from very brutal terrorism that came from the Palestinian Authority.
Give us the background, Ronnie.
And the terrain is much more contained and smaller in size.
Israel's the size of what? I mean, to put this
Israel
into context.
Israel is the size of New Jersey, more or less. It's a very small country. And if you talk about the Palestinian part of Israel, it's very, very even smaller than that. I mean, you can spend weeks in Israel and not see any Palestinian town or village. So it's a different layout. It's a different terrain than the Texan-Mexico situation. first of all. Here you have a situation with immigration. Over there, it was a situation with preventing terrorism. Now, we need to understand that the wall by itself has not stopped terrorism in Israel. We have stopped terrorism by having the wall be a component of a much more complex package of defensive items that Israel has applied onto the terrain. I believe that in the Texan-Mexican situation, it's the same thing. I don't think President Trump believes that just the wall by itself is going to solve the problem, period. It can help support minimizing immigration here, just like it has helped minimize terrorism in Israel. But you cannot rely on a wall alone to do the job for you. It is a component in a whole layers of tactical assets that you have.
Ronnie, give us the history of the wall. When was it built? What are the materials? How long is it? How wide is it? Can you go around it, under it, over it? Describe it for us and its location.
Well, the wall is in Judea and Samaria, and it is a result of what we often call the Oslo agreements that were signed in 1993. We remember Yitzhak Rabin, Israel's late prime minister, Yasser Arafat, and Bill Clinton signing the Oslo Accords in September of 1993. Without going too much into the political aspect of it, this so-called peace treaty was not a peace treaty at all, and Arafat, very soon after the signing of the Oslo Accords, has waged an unprecedented terrorism attack on Israel. And as you mentioned, the climax of it came about in the early 2000s, 2002, 2003. We have endured many, many suicide bombings and other forms of terrorism. And the thinking in the Israeli defense establishment in the early 2000s was that a wall can minimize dramatically the burden on the Israel Defense Forces protecting such a long line. And therefore, a wall was built, which is not always a wall. In some cases, it's a fence. In some cases, it is actually a wall. But, you know, it's similar to having an alarm system in your house. Is that going to guarantee that no one will ever break into your house? Obviously not. It's also a result of motivation. The more there is a motivation to cross a wall, eventually someone will succeed crossing it. It's either digging underneath, it's either jumping over, or going around. And there are ways, and there will be ways in Texas also, but it will bring relief. It will help contain the situation. So if you have a problem today of immigration in the Texan context or in terrorism in the Israeli-Palestinian context, you can definitely benefit from having a wall as a part of your defensive cluster, but not as a standalone solution.
Ronnie, I love Israel. My wife and I have been over many times, and there's something magical about that part of the world.
Yes.
Tel Aviv, walking around Jerusalem, it really is otherworldly.
Yes.
Being in Israel. And we went to Nazareth a couple of times. We went to Bethlehem to see the birthplace of Christ. And we had a tour guide, an Israeli tour guide, who dropped us off at the wall. We walked through the wall.
Yeah.
On the other side, picked up a Palestinian.
Through a checkpoint.
Through a checkpoint.
Yes.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
My question to you with the wall, it's more than just a barricade. It has become something much more. There's something, I think, symbolic about this wall, proposed wall between the U.S. and Mexico. Did Israel have the same political infighting, the same back and forth, the scuffle that the United States is now experiencing trying to get this wall built?
No, because the argument was different. It was more of a professional military issue. Some military people were against it. And thought that it won't necessarily bring any benefit. And some people opposed it for other reasons. You know, we are not, in general, and when I say we, I mean us citizens of the Western Hemisphere, if you may, we don't like walls. We don't like fences. We don't like barriers at all. It's not our culture. We want peace. We want to assume that everybody obeys the law, immigration-wise in the Mexican context, security-wise in the Israeli context. But sometimes you have to face situations where you need to protect your country. And I assume that whoever wants a wall in America doesn't want it against anybody, but in favor of being able to put some kind of a cap on illegal immigration. I'm an Israeli, I'm not an American citizen, but from my observation, I hear the heated debate in America about the wall, and my impression is that people are viewing it as a humanitarian problem, the relations with Mexico. Mexico is not an enemy country to America. We need to remember that. In Israel, we do have a very vicious enemy, and we had to make sure that the Palestinians cannot no longer commit suicide bombings throughout Israel. And the wall contributed to that. And if there will be a wall in Texas, it will contribute some to the putting a cap on illegal immigration. At the end of the day, the border authorities in along the border with Mexico will have to also consider many other apparatuses of all sorts, electronic, intelligence, checkpoints, and other things. They know what to
do.
And
human capital. I mean, more people, right? You can't just rely only on technology. You need people.
It depends. If you have a reliable, a well-built wall for, say, several miles, then you can neglect that area a little more and so forth. But these are tactical things. I know, by the way, that Israeli companies that were involved in building the wall and the defense systems with Gaza are involved in consulting to American border authorities in Texas and sharing some of our experiences with them. And I know that for a fact.
So, I haven't seen the wall. What's the material?
The wall in Israel is concrete.
It is.
It's a concrete wall. It's about 12 feet high and about 10 inches thick. And it goes also about 2 feet into the ground to make it harder to dig and also for engineering and support purposes.
It's not easy to go over that wall. You think, a 12-foot wall, I mean, it would be fairly easy to scale that, but you don't have those issues?
You know, hard or easy are relative terms. It depends how motivated the little Mexican guy on the other side is. If he has a ladder and a lot of motivation, at the end of the day, he will climb the wall.
But
whether it'll be one person or 100,
right,
that's the difference.
We're speaking with Roni Levy, former advisor to Prime Minister Ariel Sharon on World Jewish and World Christian Affairs, former infantry commander in the IDF, talking about the wall in Israel. Would it work here? We will take questions. 81807 is the number to text them, or you can call and request a question at 651-989-9226. We'll be back with more conversation in just a moment.
Paul and Jordana, happy Thursday. We're talking with Roni Levy. He's a former advisor to Israeli President Ariel Sharon, talking about the wall in Israel and getting some advice on what implications there are for a possible wall, a future wall between the United States and Mexico.
We see your texts. We see your calls. We're only going to have a few more minutes with Roni, but Dan in Hopkins. Hi, Dan. Do you have a question for Roni?
Yeah, hi, Ron.
He's listening.
You said Ron?
Roni.
Yes.
Hi there. Thank you. Do you have a problem with illegal aliens coming into your country, sneaking around the border or coming in, and not to mention human trafficking, drugs, et cetera? And if are they caught, or do they have sanctuary cities that allow them to remain in Israel?
Good question, Dan. Go ahead, Roni.
Well, I think the answer is folded inside your questions. Anything that is illegal is not a good thing, and I don't support any illegal thing of any kind, including illegal immigration. Israel has very strict immigration laws, like almost every country in the world, and we enforce these laws. If you want to enter Israel, there's ways to do it legally and to comply with Israeli immigration laws, and then you can be in Israel for however the law allows you. America, I have to go through immigration at the airport, and I'm being questions about why am I coming here. And I get a permit, Dan, to be here 30 days or 90 days. And then, if I don't leave on time, I'm in a lot of trouble. So I think that organized countries have to enforce their immigration laws very strictly. And I think it's true for Israel and for any other country in the world.
Isn't that true, though, Jor? In this country, most of the immigrants who stay are staying illegally. They come in legally on a visa.
Correct.
And then overstay their visa.
And they
it's
overstay
not
their visa.
Necessarily sneaking across the border.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. They come in through airports and they overstay.
Yeah.
And then they're lost in the system, or they might be working in a job already that they were illegally, and they just stay. But it, we have a culture that enforces that. We have a culture that hires illegal immigrants because they're cheaper than other people. So if there's a market for it, it's going to foster it.
It is. We need to bring this conversation into proportions, if I may.
Please.
This has been an issue all over the world from time immemorial. People move around, and people always go from weaker economies into stronger economies. And the stronger economies always want someone to wash the dishes and clean the streets. It's not unique for Israel or America or Germany. In Germany, it's the Turks. In England, it's Somalis and Sudanese. In America, it's a lot of Hispanics. It's a global issue, and it's nothing new. And again, I think that it is reasonable for any country that respects law and order to enforce immigration laws. It's not some bad thing.
Ronnie, if we could magically transform you, transport you to the Oval Office, and you're sitting down with President Trump, you're sitting down with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. Yeah. What advice would you have for them when it comes to a wall as part of a more comprehensive security strategy?
Well, I think any operation of that kind has to start with the order. What is the order? If the order to the federal agencies coming out of the president is stop illegal immigration from Mexico, then I think a wall is a reasonable component in that cluster. I really do. I would personally recommend to President Trump, I don't think he needs my advice, but if it was that situation, I would tell him maybe to highlight the fact that it is not against anybody. It is protecting American boundaries legitimately. It is not against Mexico. It is not against Mexicans. It is trying to put a cap on the channels of entering the United States so it can be done in a legal and an organized way. And it's natural for people from Mexico to want to live in America, but it's also natural for America to have immigration laws. So my recommendation to President Trump is to be very clear about what his directive is. What is the order? If the order is to whoever is in charge of it, stop illegal immigration from Mexico at all costs, then it has to be done at all costs. And I think that having a wall as a part of that order is a reasonable thing.
Boy, you make it sound so reasonable and rational, like it almost can be done, and yet we're a mess in this country about it.
Yeah, I think it's politics.
And it's positioning. I think you were right when you said if the president positioned it a different way, it may be taken a little bit better. But we are just we're so divided now, Ronnie. It's terrible.
I know. I think we see that, it's a different issue. But I think it's a tsunami that is affecting the entire Western Hemisphere.
It is.
We see it in England. We see it in Germany. We see it in Austria. Most Western countries today are split evenly. And it poses great challenges for democracies, because democracies function best when you have a clear-cut majority going a certain way. When it's split in the middle, it's always harder on the society. And I think that both in Israel and in America, I think people have to just cool it and understand that there's a whoever wins, let him run. He got a mandate. Let him do his thing, and otherwise we're harming our own democracies. And You know, if it's right or wrong, people can say every 4 years what they think about it.
I love the Israelis telling the Americans to cool it. You know, there are a bunch of hotheads over there.
I was giving it to ourselves, this advice.
I think we need to hear that,
Jordana. We need to cool it, right? If the Israelis are telling us that, we got some problems. Ronnie Levy, it's great to see you again. Ronnie, if you just tuned in, he's a former advisor to Prime Minister Ariel Sharon. He's written the book Land for Peace, A Century of Failure, and his current business is Covenant Tours. He runs tours all over Israel.
Thank you for your perspective, Ronnie, that we needed to hear that, and we appreciate your input.
Thank you for having
me. Wish you the best. Safe travels.
Thank you, Ronnie.
Thanks.
It's 3:33. Let's talk Sears. What do you think? Why do you think it hasn't been – well, it's now saved, but why do you think it didn't work? What would your plan be to make Sears relevant again right after the break?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.